I'm gonna sit right down and write myself a letter and make believe it came from you.
From Washington, welcome to this week's edition of Naps Chat, a timely discussion of the legislative, regulatory, and political issues confronting active and retired EAS-level postal employees. This is Bob Levy, the Director of Legislative and Political Affairs for the National Association of Postal Supervisors. Today, we will be talking about the imminent shutdown of one quarter of the federal government, the White House's proposal to reduce the Postal Service's estimated retiree health liability, and unfinished postal issues pending before Congress. First, let's talk about the anticipated holiday season government shutdown. Over the past few weeks, the President and Congressional Democrats have been feuding over whether or not legislation would fund a number of government agencies, including Homeland Security, the Justice Department, and the State Department, and would also provide $5 billion to finance a physical barrier between Mexico and the United States. Last week, in an Oval Office meeting with incoming House Speaker Nancy Pelosi of California and Senate Democratic Leader Chuck Schumer of New York, the President stated that he would be proud to shut down the government over congressional failure to provide the demanded $5 billion to fund a wall. Notwithstanding the President's threat, Senate Majority Leader Mitch McConnell, a Republican, and Senator Schumer agreed to a stopgap funding bill that would provide enough funds to run the impacted federal agencies through February 8, 2019. The bill was a so-called clean appropriations bill, meaning that it did not include extraneous provisions, including taxpayer dollars for the so-called border wall. On Wednesday, the Senate adopted the bill by voice vote. Until Thursday morning, it appeared that the House would also adopt the Senate preference to avoid a shutdown over the wall, and that the President would relent. However, House conservatives urged the President to reject the Senate position, and he stated that he would not sign any appropriations bill without $5 billion in wall funding. Consequently, the House passed a stopgap funding bill with wall money. This occurred on Thursday evening. The bill now goes back to the Senate, where passage of the House bill is not likely. This unnecessary drama will force about 400,000 federal employees to work without pay, and there would be approximately 350,000 other federal employees who would be furloughed. President Trump has threatened, quote, a very long shutdown, end quote. Postal employees should take note that although there are limited appropriations for the Postal Service, which reimburse the agency for the transport of overseas ballots and mail for the blind, it receives no taxpayer funds for its operations. As a result, year-end budget theatrics and threatened budget blackmail does not directly impact the delivery, acceptance, or processing of letters, packages, and periodicals through the U.S. mail system. With about 100 new members of Congress being sworn in on January 3rd, it will be important to educate the freshman representatives and senators about the financial independence of the Postal Service and the reliance that the Postal Service has on sustainable mail volume and revenue. That includes an internet-generated portion of the growing small parcel market. However, despite the immunity the Postal Service has regarding the ongoing appropriations battles, when the U.S. economy suffers, so does the Postal Service, and so does its customers. The second issue that I wanted to discuss is the President's task force proposal to modify the way in which the Postal Service's retiree health liability is calculated. This is one of the bright spots in the White House report. The concept of an unfunded liability is to take a snapshot of how many premium dollars the Postal Service would be liable for if it were to go out of business. Right now, that liability is calculated by the Government Accountability Office at about $112 billion. From this total amount, you subtract the total amount that is currently in the Postal Retirees Health Benefits Trust Fund, which is about $50 billion. The difference between the total liability and the amount in the trust fund is the unfunded liability. At the end of fiscal year 2018, the projected unfunded liability of the Postal Service attributable to retiree health premiums was about $62.2 billion. Under current law, the government calculates the Postal Service obligation using the data for all postal employees and retirees. This means that if I am hired on December 21st, 2018, the government includes my future retiree health premiums for which the Postal Service would be responsible if I remained with the Postal Service for the next 25 plus years and retired from the Postal Service. However, if God forbid the Postal Service ceased to exist 2 years from now, there would be no obligation for the Postal Service or the government to fund my retiree health benefits since I am not vested in the system. In addition, if I left postal employment at some point in the future, before retirement eligibility, I would also not be entitled to retiree postal health coverage. Under the law, the only employees who have a legal right to FEHBP coverage in retirement are those who have 5 uninterrupted years of FEHBP coverage immediately preceding retirement. Consequently, the President's task force suggested that the retiree health liability be calculated using data of postal employees nearing retirement because those are the only employees that the Postal Service would be responsible for if the agency ceased to exist. Employees who are not nearing retirement, for them there is no legal obligation to provide those benefits into retirement if they don't retire directly from the Postal Service. Although I don't know the Postal Service's liability for the combination of current retirees and employees within 5 years of retirement, it's no doubt dramatically less than the combination of all employees and current retirees. And therefore, the amortization schedule of this modified liability would be much more manageable. In addition, it is possible that the combination of the reduced liability would make room for new funding options to totally eliminate the current unfunded liability of the Postal Service. NAPS will urge Congress to examine this White House recommendation as part of broad postal reform legislation next year. Let me make it clear, however, that it is the expectation of NAPS, as well as all postal employees, that the Postal Service will continue to provide health benefits to its employees and to its retirees in the future. The last issue I wanted to discuss is a bit of unfinished business in the Senate. Although the Senate Homeland Security and Governmental Affairs Committee had approved the nomination of Mike Kubianda for the one vacancy on the Postal Regulatory Commission, the full Senate has yet to ratify the nomination. In addition, 2 Board of Governor nominations are still pending before the committee, and a confirmation hearing has not been scheduled. If Congress adjourns prior to consideration of the nominees, all nominations that had previously been made and not ratified would need to be renominated by the President. And I would add that all legislation that has not been signed into law by the end of the year will also have to be reintroduced next year. Admittedly, with postal legislation still on the docket and postal nominees still pending, 2019 will be a very busy year for NAPS. Well, that's all the time we have for today. I want to wish everyone an enjoyable and meaningful holiday season, and we'll be back next week. So until then.
I'm gonna write down and write myself a letter.